broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for November the 15th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is Hour 2 at 2. The goal always, steady as a rock, that is to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
We teased the story last hour a little bit, but we want to drill into it a little bit more this hour, and I'll tell you why. You know, the deep state is so pervasive, so abusive, so hostile, so regulatory, that it just shocks the mind. And every time you turn around, even things that people want to do that are like caring for one another locally, just sharing love and kindness and service and you know, following the biblical admonitions, they're tampered with, they're manipulated, they're regulated, they're controlled, and government turns out to be the perpetrator of hostility. This story proves the point like no other. Kurt?
Good point, Sam. The headline from... You know, the Kansas City area basically says, after pouring bleach on food made for the homeless, Kansas City health officials changed course. So what you have basically,
wait a minute. Let's see. I don't understand it. How do you change course on that, Kurt?
Well,
you dump bleach all over the food. So you ruin the food, right? How do you change course? Do you restore the food? Do you just let them eat bleached food? What do you do?
Well, the story says, by Eli Rosenberg, says health inspectors in Missouri shut down large food giveaways meant to feed the homeless in Kansas City parks. That was across the city last week, trashing and bleaching some of the food to render it inedible. The action prompted an outcry from groups across the political spectrum. But now the city appears to have changed course. Health officials did not interrupt the food giveaways that had been organized by a local volunteer group on Sunday, according to the Kansas City Star. Everybody was ready to stand up for themselves. Nellie McCool, a volunteer with Free Hot Soup Kansas City, told the Star. Our buddy Chuck Carter used to call him the Red Star. But anyway, we're prepared to face the law. The conflict occurred on the 4th of November when inspectors descended on the picnics that Free Hot Soup KC organizes at parks across the city every week. It looked ugly Sunday, the Star reported last week. Home-cooked chili, stacks of foil-wrapped sandwiches, vats of soup and other food prepared by volunteers with Free Hot Soup Kansas City were dumped in bags and soaked in bleach to make sure no one went back to try to recover it. The city's health department said in a statement at the time that it had received multiple complaints about the gatherings and said that the events were not properly permitted. The group organizes volunteers to prepare food at homes and transports the food in personal vehicles to serving locations, it said. The food is not kept at required temperature for food safety. It said that Free Hot Soup KC chose not to obtain required permitting to follow safe food handling practices. I mean, without the proper permit.
I just don't understand how they changed course, though. How do you back away from the bleach all over the
field? Well, because they just didn't show up the next week when they were ready. When the people were ready to say, look, we're gonna go to prison for this deal, you know. If you guys are going to, you know, take us to jail, we'll do it to try to feed the homeless.
Hey, how'd you get in here? Well, I served up a bowl of soup, man.
Chili for the homeless.
Illegal soup distribution, you know. You can run around and deal dope in America. It's all legal via your government. But if you pass out a bowl of soup, no. Yeah, this is just whacked out, folks. Crazy.
Yeah, they say Free Hot Soup KC chose not to obtain required permitting. Yeah, Kansas City Director of Health Rex Archer, and you'll have a hard time finding that in the Constitution, you know, where the Constitution says we got to have these things. But anyway, they told the Star, that's the Kansas City Star, that homeless people faced a danger from foodborne illness. Yeah, you know what they face a danger from is if you don't let these people feed them and get hungry, you know.
Hey, I got Rex. A question. What happens to your health if you drink or eat bleach, Kurt? Is that good for you?
Well, I mean, you're going to be all cleaned out. You know, Sam, you're just going to be bleached
out. Yes, you are.
They say, but Free Hot Soup KC and other groups that work with the homeless were sharply critical of the city's moves. Group administrator Shelby Meish, she's 38,
I have an idea,
by the way.
Kurt.
Yeah.
Are you allowed to have ideas on this?
Well,
if the government's really
Sam,
worried about food safety
idea.
And to prevent foodborne illness and these kind of things, let's just give the government a little bit of idea to say, hey, we get that. Nobody wants that, right?
Yeah.
What if they just decided to have a couple of volunteers from the government help make sure there's proper standards in place and make sure that, hey, people are washing their hands and that whatever. You know, what if there was just a nonprofit volunteer kind of organization that was third party that said, hey, we're just going to make sure that things are cool and everybody could cooperate. I mean, anybody in their right mind would want things to be, you know, on the up and up and legitimate and proper sanitary whatever and, you know, all that. Everybody wants that, I think, Kurt. Nobody wants to run around going, oh, yeah, I just want to distribute E. coli with my soup I'm giving people. Okay, nobody wants that. The good guys who want food in the hands of homeless and who want to help and stuff, they want things good and safe and stuff. And if they're all volunteers, maybe some of them don't have, you know, experience in food preparation and distribution. So I don't have any problem with people wanting to make sure that it's all on the up and up and good. But why just shut them down and threat? You know, people are like, I'm going to go to prison over this one and I'm going to pour bleach on the food. Do we got to go to that kind of hostility? Then the government wants to run around and say all these different groups are violent and everything. And I'm saying the violent group here is the government. They're the ones threatening people to go to jail, and they're the ones pouring bleach on the food and destroying everything. Why don't they just come in with a soft hand and say, hey, you know what? We just want to make sure that people are doing things right. And the problem is you run into all these regulations, but there's got to be a sweet balance between, hey, too many regulations, too much expense, versus we're just going to try to help make sure this is as clean and good and legitimate as it can be. And
you know,
the government,
Sam,
you would think, would be delighted to say, let the volunteers and the nonprofits and the private sector handle 90% of this. We'll just help with a teeny percent of this. There won't be too much of a burden on anybody. And we can create a win-win-win. The homeless win because they get food that's safe and stable and good and sanitary and whatever. The nonprofit groups are happy because they get a little bit of guidance and training. And the government's happy because they have a role in leveraging the taxpayers' dollars in a meaningful way and not spending too much money but getting an incredible job, then why can't we run around with a win-win-win here? See, I'm the solutions guy, and I always want to think of these things. And hey, we don't have to hate on everybody. We don't have to fight and divide and conquer and destroy. And the victims here are the homeless. Why don't we find a way to create a win-win-win? I think it's doable, Kurt. But yet, I couldn't sit down at the table because I'm a racist, even though I want to feed the blacks as much as the whites, and I want to help hungry bellies everywhere. Okay, but why can't we come up with an answer here, Kurt?
Sam, that's way too logical. Here,
that's what I'm for.
Remember, you got to remember this thing. I find very interesting. The same government that wants to make sure that babies are, well, you can kill those babies, is so concerned that somebody might get sick here. You know that they're gonna go and spread bleach on food, and I'm just like, what? You know, but it's all part of
it. Well, I guess
it
makes sense,
though.
You wonder why there's a difference. They want to kill you, and if they can't kill you, they want to starve you to death. That's all. It's consistent, Kurt.
Yeah, well, that's true. Good point. You know, the one lady said, to us, that's discrimination. She says, it's like saying there's a problem. We want to sweep it under the rug and get rid of it. These are human beings, and they deserve to be heard and seen. One guy, Eric, from the Cherith Brook Catholic Worker House, told the Kansas City Star that this amounted to a criminalization of people who are homeless and the people who support them. I think this guy doesn't understand that the government views those homeless people as their clients. Sam, and you're taking their business when you, you know, kind of step in here.
Unfortunately, you're right, and that's the very reason we bring up the story, because, look, the government right now is becoming the problem, getting in the way due to regulation and due to the fact that they view these people as their clients. It's kind of like me trying to have a, you know, a counseling service to help men and women stay married or whatever, so the women aren't ending up on the dole and food stamps and everything else. And then the government gets mad at me for trying to help marriages stay together. And I mean, it's like that. See, they just love this clientele. We got to stop it, folks. We got to turn off the money spigot, and we got to let the private sector thrive. And if there is a balance to create a level playing field to make sure that things are safe and good, hey, there might be a role there in a limited way. Now you would say, well, Sam, that's socialism. No, well, you know what? We've got what we've got, right? We got to live in the real, teach to the ideal. The ideal is government would completely get out of it. The real says, you know what? If you want to play a minimal role and you want to help the process along and feel good about ensuring that it's safe and effective and that you know, proper standards are followed, be my guest. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of education. But we could take 90% of the government out of it yesterday. Anyway, we bring it up because there's a lot of solutions in the story and there's a lot of highlighting of the trouble. I mean, am I allowed, if I want, to make some soup in my kitchen and then to go deliver it to my neighbor and give them a pot of soup? Can I do that, Kurt?
Well, the problem is you're doing it in a government park, Sam. Wait a minute.
What if I want to just give it to them on the public sidewalk and hand out bowls of soup? What if I consider the homeless my neighbors?
You are a dangerous man.
I'm just telling you right now. All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds.
Anyone who challenges their control is deemed a sexist, a racist, a xenophobe, and morally deformed. They will attack you. They will slander you. They will seek to destroy your career and your family. They will seek to destroy everything about you, including your reputation. They will lie. Lie, and then again, they will do worse than that. They will do whatever's necessary. The Clintons are criminals. Remember that. They're criminals.
I'm going to open up our libel laws so when they write purposely negative and horrible and false articles, we can sue them and win lots of money. We're going to open up those libel laws.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Swamp Fox. Back in the day, Francis Marion fought for freedom alongside George and others. We're doing the same in our day, ladies and gentlemen, standing for God, family, and country everywhere we go. And they don't know what to do with us. The new media taking center stage. They're freaking out. They're panicking. It's an absolute meltdown for the gatekeeping thugs in America today. But you know what? It's all good. We're continuing to gain credibility. They're continuing to lose it every single day. President Trump's legacy for years to come. James Dobson, Kurt.
Yep. Dr. Dobson, by the way, if you don't know who he is, ladies and gentlemen, he's been, leader in the Christian voice, I guess you could say, movement for years. We've known of him, you know, admired his efforts. But he says, November 6th, Americans witnessed and participated in one of the most bitterly fought midterm elections in our nation's history. It was also the most expensive. Billionaires on the far left were said to have contributed up to $450 million to their cause. Those of us on the political right felt just as strongly about this time of decision. And then he says, it certainly explains why I joined my conservative friends in urging, almost pleading, every Christian to vote. They appear to have responded to these appeals in record numbers. He says, according to preliminary data provided by Ralph Reed's Christian Coalition, self-identified evangelicals voted 80-16% in favor of conservative candidates and comprised 26% of the total electorate. He says, if the scope of that analysis is expanded to include all conservative Christians, regardless of church affiliation, the number increases to 86-12% in favor of conservative candidates and 35% of the vote. Now, then he talks about how great was the impact, and he mentions the Florida elections, who, you know, after the recount, you know, if they do stand, you know, you'll have Rick Scott and Governor-elect DeSantis. He says the driving force behind the huge conservative turnout in 2018 also motivated 81% of evangelicals to vote for Donald Trump in 2016. Their primary concern was for the judiciary at all levels, and especially for the U.S. Supreme Court. The prospect of Hillary Clinton establishing a liberal majority on the court for perhaps the next 30 years was, he says, there's a word, anathema, which, you know, to me means they felt like throwing up about it. But anyway, bottom line is, you know, he says, hey, there's some good things. There are more reasons to cheer. He says Alabama and West Virginia passed powerful pro-life measures, which could become the model for the entire nation. Voters in West Virginia passed an amendment.
And by the way, that's our prayer, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. We hope that's true. Yeah.
Voters in West Virginia passed an amendment to the state constitution that could make it illegal to conduct taxpayer-funded abortions. In Alabama, voters passed a constitutional amendment that affirmed an unborn child's right to life.
I just
These
wish
are
Utah
both
could
significant.
Take some claim in this, Kurt, but hey.
Yeah, good point. Well, it's a little bit too politically incorrect, Sam. These are both significant, he says, state-level pro-life achievements that deserve to be noticed and applauded.
Amen to that.
And I will say this, without Dr. Dobson bringing them to the front, I don't see anything about this on I didn't see it anywhere, really.
Well, your buddies at Fox are busy, Kurt.
Yeah. He says, I'll leave you with this thought. As I have stated publicly, I am convinced that Abraham Lincoln's victory for a second term in 1864 was the most consequential presidential election ever. I didn't know that he thought that way. But anyway, it says, thankfully, even the heightened level of vitriol and animosity in America today cannot compare to the unthinkable loss of life experienced in the Civil War. Nevertheless, Lincoln's enduring words to the nation during his second inaugural address resonate powerfully today. With malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives us to see the right, let us strive on to finish the work we are in, to bind up the nation's wounds. Yeah, you know, one last little paragraph from him says, one of the developments I lament most about our national discourse today is that our politicians are inclined to resist rather than resolve the issues that vex our society. We must pray after this election that they and we will forgive one another and go to work together.
I agree with that.
It's like your clarion calls for civility, Sam.
Yeah, I agree. And I wish people would take me and Dr. James Dobson and others a little bit more seriously. I just don't know why they don't. It's sad. But I'll give you an example. I don't know if you know, but CNN sued Donald Trump because Donald Trump literally yanked Jim Acosta's press pass. And so Jim Acosta and CNN sued the Trump administration, Kurt. Well, it turns out that now Fox News doubles down in defense of CNN. Fox News files amicus brief in support of CNN in their lawsuit against the White House. Fox News, quote, stated that the Secret Service passes provided to the media should never be weaponized by the president.
Yeah, right. What about those weaponized microphones and those weaponized, you know, writings and viewings and stuff that they put on, you know?
Well, that's I agree. And what about the weaponized term, you know, white supremacist and white this and that and constitutionalist? And they've literally participated in the weaponizing of all kinds of words and all kinds of things. And I got a question. If Jim can't be kicked out for his behavior by the White House, then the question is, does the White House have control of who gets these passes, Kurt? If somehow Jim has a right or CNN has a right, what gives them the right but not me the right, Kurt? And maybe I ought to sue CNN and Fox and say, you guys think somehow you get gatekeeping authority or somehow first-class status against the rest of us. You know, I'm the guy back in seat 48D, and I'm going to sue and say that I should get a fair shot, too, because what makes you guys so special? What, I wish I had the money to do this, Kurt, because it's a valid point. Why do they get, quote, special privilege and then sue because special privilege is taken away from one of them? And why would a Fox organization double down on backing CNN? And why would they then go to the language that the president is weaponizing? What's this word here? The president is weaponizing what? Right? Weaponizing.
The White House press passes is what they're saying.
The pass is weaponized or the control of the passes are weaponized?
Yeah, the control.
So I use that on purpose and say what is being, because I want people to think through it. It's not the pass. It's who gets the pass and who decides who gets the pass that's in question. And what the media wants to do is say, Donald, I know you're the president of the free world, but you don't have authority to decide that. We in the media, backed by rogue thug judges, are going to demand we have the control. And then I would say, does that give Sam Bushman control too? Oh, no, Sam, you're not the bona fide press. Wait a minute. Hold on. Okay, that's the rub. That's the battle point, is it not, Kurt? So I asked this question a little bit tongue-in-cheek to get you to think about it. They're not debating press passes. What they're saying is, hey, we think the press pass handing out plan is legitimate and good because it allows us to maintain our gatekeeping control status. The problem is the president thinks he has authority to do this, and we think that we, the media, have the authority to decide who the insiders are and who's rejected.
Good point.
And I got a question. Am I just a poor old white boy without press credentials, Kurt?
Yes, you are, sir.
And what do I need to do? Do I need to sue for reparations or what? I mean, do I get a – maybe we ought to have what do they call that, Kurt, when somebody gets special? Maybe a poor blind white, not even journalist, credentialed talk show host. I'm just a downtrodden. Maybe there should be some kind of – what would they call that if they let me in above ahead of somebody else? Just put me in line ahead of everybody. You know what they call that, Kurt?
Affirmative action.
Yes, sir. Maybe we ought to have press affirmative action. Now, I'm tongue-in-cheek this. I'm not serious, but I'm making the legitimate point. Who's in control here, the Donald or the CNN's backed by Fox? Now, it's interesting. You would think CNN and Fox are arch enemies, wouldn't you, Kurt? Truth is, they're buddies, and they're united against the Donald.
Well, and they're united against the rest of the other press, I think.
Yes. You're exactly right. And that's the reason that I highlight this and drill down so hard on it. So while these thugs are trying to attack the Donald and act like they should deserve special privilege, and while Fox shows its true colors and backs CNN, and while they use this violent rhetoric that they're not going to let Donald Trump weaponize. Wow, what a wordsmith in reality, huh? They weaponized the press against the people for decades, ladies and gentlemen. Well, anyway, Tucker Carlson from Fox at least stands up credibly. Tell you what he said in a second. Is Tucker Carlson going to get fired by Fox? Wait, CNN? Who does he work for? Hold on.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, tilt things in their direction.
There's no voter fraud.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. And you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
The runner on third takes a short lead. Elwood glances over. Now back to the plate. He sets the pitch. It's swung on. Strike three! They've won it! They have won it! World champions! Jim, what's it like down on the field?
John, it's a madhouse down here. I'm trying to get to Bob Elwood, the winning pitcher. Bob, how does it feel? Winning the seventh game on a strikeout.
Yeah, I thought he'd be looking for a slider, so I came on with my fastball.
World champions! Is this the greatest moment of your life?
Absolutely not. Jim, the best moments for me are breakfast with the kids. Long walks with my wife, just holding her hand, you know?
Marriage. You're never too far apart when you're still holding hands. From your neighbors, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Jim, when was the last time you held your wife's hand?
Well, it's been a while.
I tell you, you need to step up to the plate, Jim.
For more tips on strengthening your marriage, visit family.mormon.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. So the mainstream press gatekeepers literally stick together, showing their true stripes. Yeah. Fox News files brief in the court defending CNN against the Donald. Fox News stated that the Secret Service passes provided to the media should not be weaponized by the president. I don't think the media should be weaponized against the people. They've been for so long. Donald calls them dishonest. Donald says he's going to sue them. Donald does nothing, and they literally sue Donald. And now they joined forces, CNN and Fox, arch enemies, but in court, buddies against what, brother Donald? Well, I don't know who Tucker Carlson works for. Because while CNN defends free speech only if it's their own speech, Tucker Carlson is trashing them about this. Tucker Carlson is saying, wait a minute, CNN only defends speech if it's their speech. But wait a minute, who does Tucker work for, Kurt? Does Tucker work for CNN?
I thought he worked for Fox.
Well, yeah, but if he's working for Fox and he's criticizing CNN for defending their own speech and attacking everyone else, but then Fox is literally doubling down in defense of CNN in court against the Donald, where does that put Tucker?
Good point.
Are we playing political theater here? Or is Tucker the next guy on the chopping block over there at, what would you call it? What would be the brand of Fox CNN together if they joined forces, Kurt? FNN?
I guess so.
I just find it strange that CNN's doubling down against the Donald over one reporter that has absolutely had deplorable behavior. Let's be clear. He hasn't been respectful or polite or kind or appreciative. They're defending that behavior of one person, and you literally have Fox and CNN teaming up. And then a Fox host says CNN defends free speech only if it's their own speech. Tucker Carlson, guess where I had to get the news on this, Kurt?
Probably not Fox or CNN.
No, sir. I had to go to the Russia Today people. Yeah, I mean, it's just beyond imagination. And now they're going to say, oh, well, Russia, those guys are the bad guys. I mean, all things point to Russia. They're manipulating the news. How dare... Isn't it interesting that I got to go to Russia to report on this as CNN and Fox join forces, and the whole story is Russia's manipulating the news, Kurt. Russia's got fake news. What? Mm-hmm. Wow. I mean, it's as ironic as it gets, ladies and gentlemen, in your face, too. All right. Well, while they're literally showing their true colors and suing and causing nothing but trouble and playing gatekeeping roles and doing all that stuff, Donald is letting his attorneys deal with that. I don't know if he'll win or lose. Time will tell. The courts are as corrupt as they get. But anyway, I bring this all up because President Trump is actually doing something productive while they're doing that, Kurt.
Oh, yeah?
And you know where you have to go to get this news? You can't go to CNN or Fox. You know where you got to go, Kurt? You always tell us to go there.
WorldNet Daily?
No. This is about Donald, Kurt. This is about the President of the United States of America.
Oh, so the White House.
Yes, sir.
Probably.
Roger that. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we get an email for the White House, and I double down and follow up on it. It's pretty cool news. Headline says, Donald Trump backs historic prison reform bill, makes announcement regarding H.R. 5682, also nicknamed the First Step Act, Kurt.
Cool.
And I'm wondering if it's a good bill and stuff like that, trying to drill into it. And so I listen to the president's statements on it, because then I'm going to go due diligence and try to read the bill. And I mean, it takes a bunch of work, right?
Yep.
I mean, it takes a lot of work to get all this stuff done. Anyway, so I'm doing my due dilly on this thing, as I do in the news. And so I listen to the president of the United States. Kurt wisely says we ought to do that. And I concur. So I do that, and guess who's in the room with the president making the announcement?
It seemed like you said in your email it was Rand Paul and Mike Lee.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, you know, I don't know that this legislation's perfect, okay?
Yeah.
But it's already passed the House. Did you know that, Kurt? We're finding out about the details of this legislation. I knew they were discussing it and working on it, and Jared Kushner and all these people were involved, but I didn't know that it had already passed the House. Did you, Kurt?
I didn't even know it existed.
Well, hey, man, this is how Fox and CNN does their job. They just team up and make sure you don't know. So you got to go to the White House to know. And it's already passed the House. They're working on it in the Senate. It's a bipartisan reality. And it's far from perfect. But as far as I understand, if Rand Paul and Mike Lee are there backing it, clapping and supporting it, it's got to be pretty decent. Here's what the president had to say in his, what do you call it, White House press conference on it? Did CNN cover it wall to wall, or were they too busy in court against the Donald defending Jim? Goofy Jim.
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.
There's President Trump.
And thank you very much, everybody. I'm grateful to be here today with members of the House and Senate who have poured their time and they really have their heart and energy into the crucial issue of prison reform. A very respected man, Chairman Chuck Grassley, and my friend. Where's Chuck? Chuck? Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you
very much. Worked hard on this. And Bob Goodlatte. I saw Bob here. Thank you, Bob. Great job. Senators Lindsey Graham, Mike Lee, Tim Scott, Rand Paul, and Doug Collins. Fantastic people who've worked so hard, and we appreciate very much what you've done. I really do. Thank you all very much. Working together with my administration over the last 2 years, these members have reached a bipartisan agreement. Did I hear the word bipartisan?
There you go.
Did I hear that word?
Concerning the media reporting this is a joke by the president. It's not a joke.
That's a nice word. Bipartisan agreement on prison reform legislation.
I'm not really for bipartisan because it rewards the two parties, but I am for people working together, right?
Known as the first step, and that's what it is. It's a first step, but it's a very big first step. Today, I'm thrilled to announce my support for this bipartisan bill that will make our community safer and give former inmates a second chance at life after they have served their time. So important. And I have to tell you, I was called when I announced and when we all announced together this news conference by some of the toughest, strongest law enforcement people, including politicians, by the way, who are so in favor of it. And I was actually surprised by some. Like, as an example, Mike Lee and Rand Paul and others. No, it's got tremendous support at every level. It's really
now,
great.
Mike and Rand are in the room right now, by the way.
And we're all better off when former inmates can receive and reenter society as law-abiding, productive citizens. And thanks to our booming economy, they now have a chance at more opportunities than they've ever had before. It is true. Our economy is so strong that when people are getting out of jail, they're actually able to find jobs. And I have three instances of companies that hired people coming out of prison, and they are so thrilled by the performance of these people. And now they're doing it more and more and more. And a lot of people are seeing this. It's great. They wouldn't have had the opportunity, frankly, except for the fact that the economy is so strong. And our job market is the lowest and best it's been in over 50 years and seems to be getting even better.
Yeah, really, the job market's the highest. The unemployment's the lowest. But I get his point, right?
Our pledge to hire American includes those leaving prison and looking for a very fresh start. New job, new life. The legislation I'm supporting today contains many significant reforms, including the following. First, it will provide new incentives for low-risk inmates to learn the skills they need to find employment, avoid old habits, and follow the law when they're released from prison. These incentives will encourage them to participate in vocational training, educational coursework, and faith-based programs. And I want to thank Paula White very much, because I know you very much wanted that. Thank you, Paula. That reduce their chances of recidivism and, in other words, reduce their chances of going back to prison substantially. Second, this legislation will allow federal inmates to be placed closer to their home communities in order to help facilitate family visitation. So important, because we know that maintaining family and community ties is key to a successful reentry into our society. Third, the bill includes reasonable sentencing reforms while keeping dangerous and violent criminals off our streets. In many respects, we're getting very much tougher on the truly bad criminals, of which, unfortunately, there are many. But we're treating people differently for different crimes. Some people got caught up in situations that were very bad. I give an example of Mrs. Alice Johnson, who served 21 years. And she had, I think, another 25 or so to go. So she would have been in there for close to 50 years for something that other people go in and they get slapped on the wrist, which is also wrong, by the way, which is also wrong.
All right, quick pause. Sam and Kurt in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that. But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live. We're playing this Donald Trump White House, I don't know what you want to call it, press conference relating to this prison reform bill. President Trump was just talking about this prisoner that was in jail way too long. The crime... and the sentence for the crime didn't match at all, and et cetera. Here's the president.
I'll never forget the scene of her coming out of prison after 21 years and greeting her family, and everybody was crying. Her sons, her grandsons, everybody was crying and hugging and holding each other. It was a beautiful thing to see. It was a very tough situation. Among other changes, it rolls back some of the provisions of the Clinton crime law that disproportionately harmed the African-American community. And you all saw that, and you all know that. Everybody in this room knows that. It was very disproportionate and very unfair. Throughout this process, my administration has worked closely with law enforcement. Their backing has ensured that this legislation remains tough on crime. It's got to remain very tough on crime and supports the tremendous work of our police and the tremendous job that law enforcement does throughout our country, our communities. They do an incredible job. We have great respect for law enforcement. We're honored that seven of the major police organizations, including the Fraternal Order of Police and the International Association of Police Chiefs, have fully endorsed this bill. We could not have gotten here without the support and feedback of law enforcement and its leaders. Are here today, two of them, especially Chuck Canterbury of FOP and Chief Paul Sell of IACP. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
And these are two tough cookies. They want what's right. They want what's right. And interesting, if you look at Texas, if you look at Georgia, if you look at Mississippi and Kentucky and some other states that are known as being very tough, these are big supporters of what we're doing. And some of it's been modeled after what they've done. They've done a tremendous job. My administration will always support the incredible men and women of law enforcement, and we will continue to pursue policies that help the heroes who keep us safe. They are truly heroes. We also thank the more than 2,000 leaders in the faith community who have signed a letter of support.
More than 2,000 leaders in the faith community.
We have tremendous support within the faith community. Unbelievable support. Americans from across the political spectrum can unite around prison reform legislation that will reduce crime while giving our fellow citizens a chance at redemption. So, if something happens and they make a mistake, they get a second chance at life. Today's announcement shows that true bipartisanship is possible. And maybe it'll be thriving if we're going to get something done. When Republicans and Democrats talk, debate, and seek common ground, we can achieve breakthroughs that move our country forward and deliver for our citizens. And that's what we're doing today. And I have great respect for the people standing alongside of me. I urge lawmakers in both House and Senate to work hard and to act quickly and send a final bill to my desk, and I look very much forward to signing it. This is a big breakthrough for a lot of people. They've been talking about this for many, many years. I want to thank Jared Kushner for working so hard on the bill. Thank you, Jared. We really did. He worked very hard. He feels very deeply about it. And it's my honor to be involved, and it'll be an even greater honor to sign. So good luck, Chuck and Mike and Grant and everybody, Lindsay, everybody back here. Go out and see if you can get that done. And if you can, I'm waiting. I'll be waiting with a pen, and we will have done something. We will have done something that hasn't been done in many, many years, and it's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Thank you all very much. Thank you very much.
All right. There you have it. Now, I want to bring this up and say, you know, I don't know if the bill's perfect, Kurt. I haven't had a chance to read it all, and I don't know if it's in its final form yet, because, again, the Senate does weird stuff. But I know this. I don't see how it can be worse than what we've got, Kurt. And when you have guys like Donald Trump backing it, and you have guys like Rand Paul and Mike Lee backing it, I'm not saying it's perfect. You can't just trust people. You got to analyze it yourself. But I will say this. I think that the House has already passed it. We need the Senate to slam dunk this thing. Because in the lame duck session right now that we've got, can they prove they can do something? And I say, you know, when you get a religious groups, when you get Rand and Mike and, you know, a lot of these people and the president, you get so much support for this thing. On one hand, I could say that concerns me a little bit. Hey, if all these people are for something, it's got to be bad. But you got to remember, when the majority of the people are aware of something and choose something, most of the time it's right. Now, I'm not saying we ought to rule by majority. What I'm saying is that oftentimes these checks and balances, religious groups, senators, the House, the people, the, you know, oftentimes. So we need to at this point say it may not be perfect and it may not be all that we want, but it is like tax 1.0, as Rand Paul said. It is a step in the right direction. They're even calling it first step to make the point. It is a first step. And it's an opportunity, in my opinion, of a lifetime to double down on that we can work together and to start to make change here. And believe it or not, I haven't agreed with Jared Kushner on much, but you know what? Good for him. I hope we can meet with them and help some of the citizens that I believe aren't getting a fair shake. I hope we can do more. But there's more hope now than there's ever been. So you got an Amish farmer that we've been talking about forever, Kurt, seeking pardon. Kurt's got the details.
Yeah, and just before we go there, too, you know, on the Jared Kushner thing, the way I understand it, his own father had some... basically some slammer time. So, you know, there's folks that, you know, realize that the prison deal's just not perfect. But, yeah, to go to your the story that you mentioned, the headline, Amish, I guess that's how you say it. It's spelled, you know.
It's not Amish, it's Amish.
With an O. Right. Yeah, Amish farmer seeks pardon by Trump for mislabeling products. It's an AP story. Rarely do you get much good out of there. But anyway, this one's getting picked up by several places.
And I got to commend them for at least being willing to cover it.
Yeah, good point. This Amish farmer in Kentucky is asking President Donald Trump for a pardon after he was sentenced to 6 years in federal prison for mislabeling homemade herbal products. The Lexington Herald Leader reported that 58-year-old Samuel Gerard filed his petition with the U.S. Department of Justice pardon attorney. Gerard is currently serving the time at a minimum security facility in Ashland. He's a member of the Old Order Amish faith and manufactured salves and herbal products. One claimed to cure skin cancer, another was corrosive to skin. The petition says Gerard is innocent and didn't fully understand the consequences when he represented himself in the case. His friends, the county sheriff, and an online petition fought against his conviction and sentencing, saying his prosecution went overboard. There's the whole story from the AP.
Well, again, I rarely have a lot of praise for the Associated Press, and I hope this story goes far and wide. But I commend the press for talking about it. Anyway, everybody doing all they can on this. And I think it's an opportunity that we've been seeking for a long time. I don't know how it relates to the work we're doing. We need to kind of get back in touch with Samuel and find out. Because I don't want to, I don't want to work separately on something. We need to work together here. Yep. But I'm saying it's a start, and I commend all the work that's being done by everybody here involved. I don't need the credit. I'm not after credit. So it isn't about that. I just wish everybody well, and I want to know what else we can do to help the cause move along. And if Sam Gerard gets out, I don't care who gets the credit. I mean, give it to Kanye West. Give it to, telling you is, and this is an opportunity for Rand Paul. I'm sorry. He's from Kentucky, where Sam Gerard is as well. This is a chance for Rand to stand up boldly, nobly, and independently, too, and say, hey, we support this petition. We want to help. We'll get this information to the president. Right?
Yep. Now, the change.org guys, Sam, aren't they the guys that interviewed you down in Vegas?
Well, let's be very careful. We are Change.
Oh, okay.
Is different than change.org. Change.org pretty much is a communist organization, as far as I can tell, put together by Barack and crew. So I don't know about that group.
Anyway, on their site, at change.org, it says free Kentucky Amish farmer Samuel Gerard. They've got 37,323 have signed it. They're trying to get to 50,000. Says the FDA successfully harassed, indicted, and convicted 57-year-old Kentucky Amish farmer Samuel Gerard for charges stemming from an innocent labeling infraction. And then they say he's serving 6 years in federal prison. He's lived his entire life in the Amish tradition. No electricity. That means no lights, no running water, no electronic sounds, no cell phones, no internet, no planes, no driving cars. He's a farmer and lived on a farm all his life. He's now in prison about 7 hours away from his family, his wife Elizabeth, their 12 children and 25 grandchildren. He's now surrounded by steel with armed guards, bells and whistles, loudspeakers, warnings, cement, and little access to the sun. Sam has never harmed anyone. There are no victims of the three herbal salves he made and sold for over 20 years. He made the mistake of mislabeling one of the salves. The story of his persecution is practically unbelievable. Anyway, they tell you a link to where to read it, that kind of stuff. But I thought it was interesting. I didn't think we were I didn't think we were like pals with these guys. But down at the bottom it says hashtag free Amish Sam, and then it said hashtag the Freedom Coalition.
Yeah, because they're doing a great job. Oh, that's us. Whoa.
Yeah.
Hey, well, hold on. The Associated Press hashtagged us?
No, this is change.org.
Oh, too bad. Where's the Associated Press talking about who's really working on this, huh? Maybe they should have called me or the good sheriff or Kurt or somebody to get kind of an update on the efforts being made here. Again, I don't care if we get the credit. I'm just making a point that, you know what? We got to work together. We got to try. We got to work hard. And we got to move the needle on this. And I'm commending everyone who's made any efforts to date. Thank you. Thank you, Jared Kushner. Thank you, Donald Trump. Thank you, House of Representatives. I pray for you, Senate. Let's get it done. Because people need to be united with their families. Because it is about God, family, and country. Again, far from a perfect bill. I don't want people calling me saying, Sam, you're going for a bad bill. I understand, folks. Don't even give me that. I'm just telling you, it's a start, and we got to start somewhere, and we got to have a chance to work together if we ever have hope to doing it in the future. This is the window of opportunity as I see it. All right. Thanks, Kurt. Great work. Thanks, everyone. We declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore our grand old republic. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. God save the Republic of the United States of America.